being a peacemaker isn't as easy as it seems. So what are pitfalls to avoid, and how should we trust God to help us demonstrate peacemaking in our jobs, home, church, and community? Pastor Jerry Seawright shares his thoughts about how Matthew, the 5th chapter and the 9th verse, describes peacemakers in part 8 of our series on the Beatitudes, with his sermon entitled, Peace Out. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
Bow your heads with me in a word of prayer. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you once again. Lord, we ask that you show yourself strong on today. Lord, we're talking about peace on today. Father, I ask that you will guide those who don't know about your peace to your peace. Help them to understand, Lord, on today that they cannot have your peace unless they have you. Father, we ask that for those who understand who you are and those who know that they belong to you, Father, we ask right now that you reinforce their faith. Encourage them right now, Lord, and help them to remember and feel that peace that you've blessed them with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I ask that the church would turn to or punch up on your tablets Matthew, the 5th chapter. Matthew, the 5th chapter. And I will ask that you once again use the New King James Version, New King James. And when you turn or punch up Matthew, the 5th chapter, I would ask that we read once again verses 3 through 12. But before we do that, and as you turn, as always, I just emphasize to the congregation that you all will support Sunday school and support Tuesday evening service. I can't stress enough how important those two services are to your spiritual growth, to your maturity. It will help you to become what God wants you to be. Amen? Through His Word. Through His Word. Also, you've heard about financial peace. That's something that I'm excited about. Wish I would have known about this 20 years ago as well. Amen. It would have saved me at least 18 years of headache. Amen. So you guys, if you're my age, it's not too late. And if you're young, wow, what a golden opportunity. Amen. All right. And lastly, the apologetic conference that will take place, and we can't emphasize enough, as I stated, we push the word here. It's all about digging deeper in that word so that you can be more like Christ. And this apologetic conference will help us do just that. Amen. Oh, and one other thing is Kensington, the event that takes place at the Strand Theater? Okay. I believe that's the name of it. Will take place on the 20th, and it'll begin at 7 o'clock. And they asked that I would open the service with prayer and a brief word. So I ask that you all support that as well. If you want any or need any information in regards to the tickets, you can see Sister Karen. Amen. Thank you. All right, Matthew 5:9. That's what we will concentrate on today. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And I ask the church that you pray for me and pray with me right now. So we're going to get down to the point right off the bat. And I will use a quote by Brother Hendrickson. I couldn't put it any better than he did. He said, "True peacemakers are all those whose leader is the God of peace, who aspire after peace with all men, who proclaim the gospel of peace, and pattern their lives after the Prince of Peace." Once again, if you want to write this down, true peacemakers are all those whose leader is the God of peace, who aspire after peace with all men, who proclaim the gospel of peace, and pattern their lives after the Prince of Peace. So, when you look at this word peace, which is a branch of peacemaker, when you look at this word peace, you'll see it throughout the Old Testament and even in the New Testament. And most times, the word means, how are you? Are you well? Are you complete? Are you sound? And these questions point to not only how you are physically, but how are you spiritually? How are you spiritually? See, when you also look at the Old Testament, you will see that the believers back then that understood what this peace was all about had shown you and I an example of how to have that peace that comes from God. If we look at 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 22 to 23, just for background, we see that the prophet Elisha, right, had come and he was visiting the Shulamite woman. And then this woman blessed him with accommodations. And then he said, "What can I do to bless her?" And all of a sudden he said, "Hey, you're going to have a baby." She didn't have a child at the time. And then all of a sudden, time passed, she has a child. But one day when that child was working out in the field, his head got to hurting and all of a sudden he died. They believe it may have been a sunstroke. And then all of a sudden we catch it here in verse 22 where the woman says, "Then she called to her husband and said, 'Send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys, that I may quickly go to the man of God and come back again.' And he said, 'Why will you go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath.' She said, 'All is well.'" Then if you go down to the 25th verse and the 26th verse, it says, "So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When the man of God saw her coming, he said to Gehazi, his servant, 'Look, there is the Shulamite. Run at once to meet her and say to her, is all well with you? Is all well with your husband? Is all well with your child?' And she answered, 'All is well. See, that's what this peace gives us, and that's what this peace is all about. Also in the Old Testament, when you go to the book of Esther, Esther had an uncle named Mordecai, right? And Mordecai said, yeah, you need to make a decision, because I'm telling you, as a nation, we have an enemy, and he wants to wipe us out. He wants to wipe all these Jews out. And this is your time, Esther. This is your time. For such a time as this, your beauty, your position, and everything else is working it out for this moment. God placed you here for this moment. I know you have a tough decision, but God has placed you in this position for this very moment. And let's see what Sister Esther said in that fourth chapter and 16th verse. She said, go, gather all the Jews to be found in Susa, and hold a fast on my behalf, and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. See, this peace that we're talking about will make you complete for the task that God has in hand for you at this moment. Another example from the Old Testament is found in Daniel, the third chapter, verses 17 through 18. We see and we all sing about the three Hebrew boys and how they went through everything, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how they were thrown in the fiery furnace. But what was interesting is their statement prior to being thrown in the fire. They said, if this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. In other words, they said the same thing as Sister Esther. If we perish, we perish, right? This is a peace that God gives us, and he gave those in the Old Testament as well. So not only are we saying, are you okay? Are you all right today? This is a peace that you can stand on. Your very foundation is on this peace that God gives. Amen? So this peace reference here is more than a state of tranquility or serenity. This peace is more than talking about wartime and peacetime. You know what's going on in North Korea, and you got that brother over there with all of his toys, his dangerous toys, talking about what he will do, talking about how he will start a war. Now, this peace passes all of that as well. Amen. And this peace is talking about more than peace between nations. See, it's a higher and deeper than peace that this world reference. This peace is a result of one, and we're going to review these blessed beatitudes. This peace is a result of once being poor spiritually, you are now blessed in the heavenlies. That's verse 3 of chapter 5 of Matthew. Once being in a state of sorrow and mourning over your condition, you are now comforted. That's verse 4. And you humbled yourself and given yourself to God. Amen. And then all of a sudden, you see him differently and you see men differently. That's verse 5. And then because you changed your spiritual taste buds, you now want to do nothing more than seek and taste his righteousness. Amen. And that's verse 6. And now, because he had shown you mercy, you're going to show others mercy as well. That's verse 7. And because you now live right in your inward parts, and it's showing on your outward parts, you see him once again for who he is. And that is verse 8. And all of that results into what? Verse 9. You have a peace. A peace. Not only a peace that this world talks about, but this is a peace with God. You've settled that issue. You settled that issue where all of a sudden you were like an enemy of God. In Romans 5th chapter verse 1, it says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, there's the peace with God and there's the peace of God. But that peace with God, it's important. Because you can't have the peace of God without it. Amen? Sin messed us up. It messed us up. And guess what? It messed peace up too. It knocked peace off its course as well. And since it knocked everything off course, all of a sudden it took the Prince of Peace to right the ship. So this peace is not something that you can obtain. This peace is not something that you can obtain. This peace is not something that you, through your works, can obtain. This peace is a gift. It's a gift of God. John 14th chapter 27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. This is a peace from God, because you got it together with God. These Beatitudes are not talking directly to those who don't believe, but to those who do believe. And for those who don't believe, it's a warning saying get it together, because all of this blessedness that you see and that you are hearing in your ears, it can be yours. It can be yours if you do what the Master told you to do. Amen? If you do what the Master told you to do. Now, moving on. And now we are called the sons of God. Now we are called the sons of God. This is an awesome privilege, saints, to be called the sons of God. But let me back once a minute. And let me say something that I had not planned to say, but I want to say today. Because God put it on my heart this week to say this. And that is this. This whole series is basically a series in an effort to disciple the church. Do you hear me? It's to disciple the church. It's an effort to say, here are the standards in which God placed before us. Let's do them together, church. And if you don't know how to do them, come out to Tuesday night and we'll tell you more about it. Come on out, because we want the church to live right, to be right, to act right, to behave right. We want the church to move in sync. But then all of a sudden I heard a comment this week that rung true in my heart, and that was in my heart already. It just confirmed it. And it was this: how can you disciple those who are not transformed? How can you disciple those who don't want to be right? How can you do that? How can you disciple someone that's not even saved? If you try to disciple somebody that's not even interested in being saved, what is that? Isn't discipling, aren't the efforts like more fruitful if you deal with somebody that is trying to be right? I know a brother said this in other words to me months ago, but it's ringing true even today to me. See, church, the point is that you're being discipled. You are being told God's word and how to live it out in your life, how to execute this thing. But the truth is that if you have no desire to be right, this stuff ain't nothing to you. In other words, these messages simply make you more accountable on that day if you are not going to put them into practice. God is offering you peace on today. But here's the deep thing. How can there be no peace in his house? Or if there is some peace, why will this peace be troubled in his house? Because folks are not on the same page. Believe it or not, church, there are some folks that don't mind division. There are some folks that don't mind pettiness. There are some folks that don't mind divisive, strife, argumentative ways, talking behind your back, smiling in your face. All the time they want to, no. But there are some that are up to no good. They are. So how do you treat them? How do you deal with them? Do you pour? Do you pour it out? Well, the word says, hey, to the wicked, rebuke. To the weak, strengthen. But to the wicked, tell them about themselves. Amen? Wish I had a louder amen on that. But the point is this. It's crunch time, church. It's crunch time. And these messages, this series, is supposed to take you higher. But the deep thing is that the more you shine light on a situation, the more you start seeing the situation. Amen? And the Lord has given me a flashlight, if you will. When I took this office, I asked the Lord, show me hearts, Father. Show me hearts. I need to see who I'm dealing with. And you know the funny thing? I'm not deceived. But there are those who are deceived in the midst of me. They act like I don't see. They act like I don't see. I told you to get on the ship. There are some people that are on the ship, right? There are some people that are getting off the ship. And maybe there are some people that need to go. I have to say it, saints. I have to say it. This church is about being right. This church is about doing right. This church is about having peace in its midst. Can I get an amen? Amen. This church is about being on one accord. This church is about loving one another with that badge of discipleship, You shall love one another. This church is about not beating somebody down, but lifting them up. This church is about cooperating with each other as we try to do God's work. It's not about me. It's not about anybody in position. It's about God's work. But more importantly, what shows that we may have an issue about being on one accord is when we are not out there being sons of God. Because sons of God also equal this, that you take part of reconciling this world. Because that's what peace is all about. Is you reconciling others to God, and you are taking part of this ministry of reconciliation. Amen. 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 You should be a witness, reconciling the world, not only with your mouth, but with your life. You're reconciling others to God. I heard and I read a while ago that don't you realize when you pray, don't you realize that it's like you stepping into heaven? When you pray, it's like you are actually coming out of this world and you step into the throne of heaven. And you are there talking to your Father. Just simply when you pray and you start your prayer, Our Father, and you enter into a whole nother realm. Guess what? When you are out there reconciling this world to Him, guess what you do? You are partnering with Him and you're stepping into a whole nother realm once again, and it's all about His mission. And it's all about Him wanting to make sure that none perish. But if all could come to Him, let them come to repentance. And it's just like you, when you step into heaven through your prayer, you also step into partnership with God, reconciling this world. But saints, we will be hindered in that effort to reconcile this world if we are not reconciled in this house. We have to be reconciled in this house. We got to be together, saints. We got to be together. Because if we can't get it together here, then those who come here will see what we are about and they'll say, Nah. Thank God for those who have come. Thank God for those who have stayed. Because I'm not trying to chase anybody away. But what I am trying to say is we have work to do. And the greatest part of our mission is reconciling this world to Him. I was convicted, saints, this week in reading this passage because the business is about making sure that no one goes to hell. Go out there and open my mouth, Jerry, and tell them about the Lord. Show them with your life, Jerry. And then when you get an opportunity to tell them, Tell them. But when I do tell them and I say, come on by, I want them to come to a loving, peace-filled church. Church, you got to make a decision. You have to make a decision. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That peace will guard this church. That peace will guard our minds. That peace will guard our hearts, saints. This is a plea to the church as a whole to say, let's get it together. Let's be together, because time is of the essence. Peace begins at home. If you wonder why there's no peace in your family, if you wonder why there's no peace on your job, check yourself first. Check yourself first. I did. And I ask you to do the same. Check yourself. Now, understand this. The Lord also said, I did not come to bring peace in one sense, because mother will be against daughter and son against father. And what he was saying is, if you stand with me and you stand for me, this peace that I give you will not be the interest of some others. So in other words, you can't blame that I come and messed up everything. That's the resistance to what's right. Some people have a serious resistance to what's right. I told you that they don't mind division. They don't mind pettiness. They don't mind strife. They don't mind these things. And that's the resistance that truth gets. That's the resistance that being right get. And you have to, like, still be right when that nonsense is going on. Not only in your home, but in the church as well. Let us stand. Saints, I want you to know right off the bat that I thank God for this series, because it helped me to get my house in order. So I want you to know, first, the Lord preached to me through these studies. And I've tried to faithfully communicate his word. And today, if you heard a challenge to get it right, then you got the message. It's to get it right. It is. It is. Stop the divisive things. Stop the talking. Stop the bickering. Stop all of the mess. And let's be about peace. Let's be about peace. Let's be on one accord. And it's not peace at any cost. And I want you to understand this. It's not peace at any cost. It's a standard. And it's not about a compromise. So if there is something that's going on with you and someone, the Bible gave you the remedy to get that right. Go to the person and work it out. And work it out. But don't work it out with everybody else. That ain't peace. That's called gossip, backbiting, and things of that nature. Come to the person and let's work it out. I'm approachable too, by the way. Come to me. If it's an issue with me, come to me. We can work it out. But from this day forward, let's be a church that's about peace and loving one another. See, that that love, one of the fruits of love, is that peace. That peace. Is there one today that may not know this peace that I'm talking about? They may not have experienced this peace, and they're like, whoa, you know what? Okay. This peace that was talked about in the Old Testament, where folks were dealing with these grave circumstances and they were still saying, it is well. That peace can be yours today. I say come. I say come. And there may be those who have lost their way and said, boy, you know, I know I'm his, but I don't feel that peace. I say come. We'll pray that peace. And we believe that peace. I say come now. And for those who have visited us on several occasions, or visited us on today, and they say, you know what, I want to be a part of this. I say come. The more the merrier. But let me say this. If you come, please be about peace. They're one. I love you, church. God bless you.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at NLCC Pontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.